Just to explain you all how functional medicine works, just a glimpse of it. So let's take a thyroid dysfunction, hypothyroidism, as an example.
So it's a, for example, like it's a young woman who's in her 30s and she's a housewife, and the symptoms that she feels is like she feels cold, she feels fatigued, she has she's overweight, of course, and she also had some childhood trauma. And obviously being at home, so she can cook her own food, but it's more heavy on carbs. And she's been on birth control pills since 5 years. Plus, that's why she has some menstrual irregularities. And also, that equates to having a bit more higher insulin, which results in excess weight gain.
Because of the fasting blood glucose.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. If her blood fasting blood glucose is measured in labs, in today's episode, we are going to talk about functional medicine because it's a topic that's not well understood. People don't know what it is. It's people have their own definitions of functional medicine, their own understandings and whatever it is. So thought, why not make an episode on this topic?
And clear the air.
Clear the air. So whether you are a professional, a health professional who's looking out to study functional medicine, take it up. Or whether you're someone who just wants to work with a functional medicine professional, in either of the case, you will have a clear understanding of what it is as we go through this episode. So in today's episode, we are first going to briefly cover what is functional medicine. I'm going to share my experiences, what I learned, and then we are going to discuss the pros and the cons.
Yeah.
And ending with what's the conclusion. And I think the conclusion is what you think about it based on all the information we provide you. So then let's get started.
Yep.
So in regards to functional medicine, the most popular prestigious institute out there is the Institute of Functional Medicine, IFM. And according to them, the definition of functional medicine is functional medicine is a systems biology-based approach that focuses on identifying and addressing the root cause of disease. So in short, what it really means is that it goes to the root cause of the illness, of the disease, and that's all what it's about. And there are different institutes, like I studied from the School of Applied Functional Medicine for 3 years, and but there are other institutes apart from IFM and SAFM, and every institute, I think, at the base of it, this is the understanding.
Yeah.
But different institutes have their own different approaches, and there can be slight
differences
or variations in what they teach.
Yeah.
And there are some functional medicine schools out there that focus more on lab assessments and just certain nutritional protocols. And while there are others, that the one I did was where we delve into great depths of understanding the physiology. And for that reason, the first 2 years, 1.5 years, it was very daunting for me. And I was almost like a full-time student.
Yeah. But I think that's formed the basis of your practice, right?
That's
because
true.
If you won't understand the anatomy and physiology, you won't be able to go ahead.
That's true. But not all. I think it's not all institutes or organizations teach that.
Yeah. So that's like a plus point.
It is. I wouldn't deny that.
Yeah.
Okay. So basically, functional medicine is just a refined version of naturopathy. What is naturopathy? it's a holistic approach to healthcare that looks at the whole person, not just the symptoms of illnesses. Hence, this approach of functional medicine focuses on the person and their story, studying the person and understanding the person rather than focusing completely on the disease label, which is scary.
Yeah, that's true. And of course, I mean, when you're looking at diseases and you're seeing the labels, it can be heart-wrenching because you don't know where to start from. And I think that's where the functional medicine practice comes in handy.
Yes, that's true. Okay, so let's take one example just to explain you all how functional medicine works, just a glimpse of it. So let's take a thyroid dysfunction, hypothyroidism, as an example.
Yeah, so it's for example, like it's a young woman who's in her 30s and she's a housewife, and the symptoms that she feels is like she feels cold, she feels fatigued, she has she's overweight, of course, and she also had some childhood trauma. And obviously being at home, so she can cook her own food, but it's more heavy on carbs. And she's been on birth control pills since 5 years. Plus, that's why she has some menstrual irregularities. And also, that equates to having a bit more higher insulin, which results in excess weight gain.
Because of the fasting blood glucose.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. If her fasting blood glucose is measured in labs, then it's according to the conventional markers, it will be normal, seemingly normal. But that's because the insulin is high and it's shoving the glucose in the cells.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why it creates an illusion that everything is normal.
Yeah.
And that's why, especially in metabolic syndrome, it takes like almost a decade or so for the disease to manifest, like what we call as type 2 diabetes.
Yeah.
And it's not just a disease in itself. It's generally blood sugar irregularities or dysregulation generally occurs in a lot of other disease patterns.
Yeah, but just to sum it up, now this person has all these issues. So what's the root cause?
Okay, so speaking of the root cause, high blood sugar, where we just left off.
Yeah.
So it causes systemic inflammation, which in itself turns down intracellular thyroid conversion, which is T4 to T3. And of course, it even converts T4 into reverse T3.
Yeah.
Or T3 into reverse T3. And so free T4 and TSH is what they generally check and they measure in conventional labs. And then that is like seemingly normal. And the doctor says, well, it's all in your head.
Yeah. Right. So you see the disease dynamic, how interconnected it is, insulin connected to the thyroid, overweight, which is estrogen, again, connected to your thyroid.
And then, of course, because now that there's not enough thyroid, active thyroid hormone T3, and since the mitochondria also needs the thyroid hormone, the activated thyroid hormone, to produce its energy currency, the ATP,
yeah.
There's not enough ATP.
So there's not enough energy because person has and she feels more fatigued.
Exactly. Because, I mean, it's common sense that when systemic inflammation is high and the very act of living and breathing creates oxidative stress.
Yeah.
And because there's more inflammation, which is more oxidative stress, the body thinks, the thyroid gland, which is a manager of the body, thinks, oh, well, there's already so much of inflammation. Why add to it?
Yeah.
So let's just turn down thyroid function for the time being till this situation doesn't resolve itself. And when it doesn't, it goes on to create further problems. Any which ways. Getting back to this young woman. Because of the sluggish, because of fatigue and because of low ATP, of course, all muscles in the body also require ATP. To function, and including the muscles in our digestive system.
That's true.
And
peristalsis, the act of peristalsis.
Pushing the food down.
Pushing the food, the motility.
Motility. That also becomes sluggish because of that. And so we see that the person has constipation you know, this person has constipation. She also has bloating, which she didn't give much
thought to.
She said, ah, okay, maybe it's just normal. You know, what can you do about it?
Yeah.
But yeah, so more or less, this is in a nutshell what functional medicine looks like in the back end. And just a side note on why don't you tell them about the OCPs?
Yeah, of course, OCPs are not that great. There's a time and space for everything, but definitely OCPs, when you are taking it regularly, it can definitely increase the intestinal permeability and food and create more food sensitivities, while also reducing nutrients like B6, so which is also a precursor to many biochemical functions like methylation, which is required for producing one of the body's most important antioxidant, which is glutathione.
Well, I wouldn't say most important, but we'll get to that later. Let's just talk about the pros before we jump on to the cons.
Yes.
Right. So starting with the pros.
Always the good stuff.
Always good stuff first.
Yeah.
So starting with the pros, it's the one, it can be summarized and said that it's one of the greatest tools for managing issues on the physical level.
Yes.
Okay, so it does not address wellness to its completion. It's just a part of it, right? So,
but I think people do need these humble beginnings.
Oh yeah, that's important.
That,
I mean, it's a
they
part.
They have their trust into this type of healing.
Yeah, it's a part. It's a part. It's not complete, but it's a part.
Yeah.
So starting with, it keeps the systems. It keeps the symptoms at bay.
Yeah.
Which is providing relief to people, which encourages the people to make healthier choices.
Yeah.
Continue making healthier choices, because making healthier choices is a part of functional medicine.
Yeah, and also complete healing.
Yes.
I would say.
Completely. I wouldn't say that. Yeah. I wouldn't say that. However, it reduces or eliminates the dependency on pharmaceutical drugs and the side effects that come with it if it's taken in the long term.
Yeah.
And it's an organized system, the whole system of functional medicine, wherein we are taking we are understanding this person's history, their health history, their habits that they had when they were young, and what kind of what was their mindset, or what was their psychological and emotional state when they were
young
as teenagers, the major life events. So as you all can see, this functional medicine requires understanding the person's history to its completion.
Which is really good.
Yeah. So what happens is, this tool is perfect when you take all of that history, that in-depth insight, and using the data of labs.
Yeah.
And then taking the physiology.
So it's really helping to create a picture.
A picture. To map it out. And they literally map it out. I'm not sure about what other institutes teach and what they do. Yeah. But at least where I learned from Tracy Harrison, she's excellent. And she helped us understand this, develop the skill to put everything together, piece everything together and map this out. Which is perfect for even empowering the other person. Because once the person understands why and how this happened, this played out, it removes fear
of the
illness. And then the person starts logically.
Yeah, because you can trace back the steps, like when did it really start happening? So it's not, nothing is coming out of thin air. It's just, everything has a reason.
Everything has a reason. So once you understand, it really takes that fear away and it helps the person to know that, okay, well, it's not that big of a deal. I actually can deal with it. And I, you know, okay, I can start making these small steps and then I'll eventually get there.
Yeah. Right?
And of course, on that note, it does encourage long-term lifestyle and dietary changes.
Which is so crucial.
In a
and
positive
essential.
Manner.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
we need this. If people wouldn't make these foundational changes, I mean, you cannot get that complete healing.
No, not at all. In fact, many a times just telling someone to you know, sleep on time, not have water, in along with their food, not lots of water, liquids, copious amounts of liquids. All these like, why should I do that?
Yeah.
But then when you have a reason, a backing, an evidence of how things work in the physiology, in the biochemistry, then the person understands and says, I better not do that. Oh, I better do this.
Yeah, because then there's a logical reasoning about behind all of these sleep hygiene, food hygiene that we follow.
Yeah. And let's say that even if we have resolved issues at the higher states, like the emotional states and even at the energetic state.
Yeah.
But if still...
Your mental state.
The mental state. But still, if a person hasn't made these changes on the physical level, it's not going to result in complete wellness.
That's true.
It's important. It's an important part.
Yeah.
Changes, I mean. So there are things like sleeping hygiene, blue light exposure. There is, nutritional, not just diet, not just a diet. Nutrition is not about diets, but it's about making the correct choices. Neither does it mean that 100% of the times you eat healthy, quote unquote. It's about understanding how food works. It's about understanding how we can make those correct choices 80% of the times, and it's fine to enjoy life 20% of the times.
That's true.
Right? So there's so much more, including eating hygiene. And so, yeah, it takes away that nutrition confusion that people have, I would say, because it really clarifies things on the physical level. And even understanding food on the physical level, whereas encouraging people to shift more and more to whole natural foods.
Yeah. Which is sort of lost today because of corporations selling these processed foods in supermarkets. And that's what we get. We don't get anything which is more natural based, unless you walk into an organic supermarket.
Yeah.
Or like an organic shop. You won't get these things.
It's hard. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, there's one small corner in a supermarket that's dedicated towards organic, and that's that. And many a times, they also have few products. But then again, I don't know. They're sort of, we are misguided and they're mislabeled so that it deems to be organic, but it's not really organic. So it really confuses the person more. Because then the person has this illusion that they are having something which is organic, but then it's not really that healthy and it's not called for that particular person's situation.
Hmm.
Because if they are, even if someone is eating a lot of organic, but then again, it's heavy on carbs, it's not benefiting the person in any way.
No, and when we say heavy on carbs, that doesn't mean carbs like potatoes or sweet potatoes. We mean
biscuits.
It's like
pastas, integral,
whole wheat.
Yeah.
And it's even to this, it's not about the whole wheat. It's about the quality of whole wheat. It's about how it's processed. Like it's processed. It goes through a man-made process.
Mm-hmm.
So the structure, the molecules and all also change.
No, but I'm talking about the organic one.
Yeah, that, exactly. Even in organic, like it can be heavily processed and still be organic. And people think, oh, it's organic.
Yeah.
It's healthy. But that's not the way it works. So that's the thing what functional medicine really helps in. You know, it helps in understanding how nutrition works.
Yeah, so basically getting in touch with nature.
Exactly. So that's an excellent clue. And with that, let's move on to the cons.
I think you are excited about speaking.
Yeah, actually, you know why? Because
the cons
when I took up functional medicine, I had a different intention. I had a certain expectation, but then it did not meet that expectation. But then at the end of the day, I have to realize that you can't find everything in one place.
That's true.
At least it did not misguide me. That was more important. So, okay. I mean, I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
And even with the cons, it's not like, see, nothing is black and white. Okay. Nothing is good and bad.
Yeah, that's true. Everything is working in a spectrum.
Yeah, exactly. So with that, though, the biggest complaint that I had after I completed, and even during the time when I was doing it and I started working with a few people, that there were fewer resources to manage the issue. So functional medicine's stronghold lies in the fact that it can analyze and educate the person in an excellent manner.
Yeah.
But when it comes to actually solutions, apart from lifestyle and dietary changes, the solutions when it comes to managing any health issues.
Yeah.
That's where it lacks. It has fewer resources. And that's how I got her in the picture. Like after when I was midway in the course and I was working with people, I really felt like I was falling short
of solutions.
It felt like to manage a certain issue, we needed to bring in a lot of nutraceuticals.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel right to do that. Of course, not that many, because especially in SAFM, we were always told again and again, never go heavy on supplementation, should never be in the long term. But there are always, of course, there were in a way solutions, but just they were not enough. It just required a heavy use of supplementation, because not everyone is at a stage where they can make all those necessary changes.
Yeah.
So it got really difficult. I got her in because she's a clinical herbalist and she has...
Fortunately, I was studying that time herbalism, and I think the things had to connect, because I could see a lot of overlapping, and I could see the way that they were handling the situation, like for example with eczema or something of that sort. I've been taught in my institute that how to deal with it with herbs. So I thought that incorporating herbs with functional medicine and vice versa, it's just amazing to compound the effect of our protocol.
Exactly. So that's when she started studying my studies. Not yeah. my studies, but that's when she started studying functional medicine.
His syllabus.
And yes. It's funny, because I studied functional medicine for 3 years, and now I've ended up in a way that I am not too much involved with it. I'm not using it too much. It's actually her that's using it. So what she's done is she's married functional medicine and herbalism. And she's
because it was a logical thing to do.
Yeah.
And they are a pretty good fit together.
Because
herbalism is all about energetics.
Yeah.
And obviously that's what we help the person find, that imbalance in the energy.
Hmm.
And that's how herbs are administered to the person. So getting the functional medicine into the picture, getting that logic and that evidence really helped me scale my practice.
Yeah. And what's different is, because functional medicine, not a bad thing again, but it's only focusing on matter. It's completely leaving out energetics. For example, nutraceuticals and herbs. When I say nutraceuticals, I mean supplements, isolated nutrients like
extracts,
like things like COQ10, B6, B12, etc., B vitamins. It's not the same, because herbs have their own energetics, their own biophoton light emissions. And something like a nutraceutical and isolated nutrient is made in the lab. And I have something to add over here. In my head, it's a personal choice. I'm not asking you not to do that. Okay, as far as supplements are concerned, nutraceuticals to be specific, it's okay to use it in a very targeted manner in a short term time frame. But herbs, on the other hand, are, would you like to say, because I think it's your part.
Yeah. Of course, herbs are vibrational, energetic beings, and they are here to help us long before even conventional medicine came into the picture.
Yeah.
Still, you know, there's, of course, the scientific industry, the science, it sort of, again, ridicules herbalism as being unscientific.
But that's where it comes from.
Non-qualitative and very anecdotal. But that's not the case, because then again, herbs have been used by people since antiquity, and they have been our allies for so long, and they have been proven. Nowadays we have research, but then when people were using it and traditionally how it's been used. And it really shows the empirical evidence to people that it's so fruitful.
And here's the thing I was about to say.
It's no
my
woo-woo,
personal view.
It's no woo-woo, it's no quackery.
What I think logically, my personal view, a pharmaceutical drug is at the end of the day a kind of an extract. It's taken
out of herbs. I mean, of course they get that.
Or it's imitated out of what exists in nature.
That's true.
Sometimes supplements are the same. They are an extract, they are lab derived, they are an imitation of what's in nature, especially when you look at multivitamins or B vitamins. They are just lab derived compounds.
Yeah.
Right? Not getting into the process of it. But in my head, logically, I feel that what's the difference between A and B? Like, okay, there are enough studies on B, as in supplements, nutraceuticals to be specific, that say that, yeah, these are really good for the body. But then how is it different from the pharmaceuticals? Like in my head, I think this. And so I always tend to choose herbs. I have not taken supplements in the last 2 years. I stopped because as I was learning more about the nature of, as I was learning more about atom and the nature of everything, like diving more into energy body and the higher mind and the nature of the universe and the world and et cetera, all esoteric. It just didn't feel right in my heart, but I'm not saying it's bad because somewhere I also started finding data like omega-3s. It's heavily used in functional medicine, things like omega-3s. It's like always recommended. There are companies just built on this, like $1 billion, $1 billion companies.
Yeah.
But then what I learned, and I think I've covered it or we'll cover it, it's completely opposite of what we think and believe.
Yeah.
So it's an error, right? And the same thing goes with MTHFR, gene mutation, right? It's an end-all, be-all, something that cannot be resolved, okay, in functional medicine. But it's not like the body is broken. It's like if you have this gene mutation, you have to keep taking a certain supplement for a lifetime. But then I started learning that there are deeper things that affect and create this gene mutation. It's not an end-all, be-all problem.
So the answer doesn't lie on the physical level.
The answer does not lie on the physical level.
It's at a higher level, right?
Yeah.
And that's where, of course, connecting to your higher consciousness and knowing that deeper answer.
Your higher self. Because you're not aligning somewhere. Disease is also, in most cases, a manifestation of, it's a signal. That's what I can say. And it's a manifestation because it's coming out of a certain emotion or something that we don't know about that we are not following or we are not doing or we are not forgiving.
Learn, yeah. And move forward.
And if you get into the connect, like how that is connected, because now you're saying that is redundant. How is that possible? But we have already covered this in other episodes where we connect and show you that connection of how the emotions, you know, they there are brain waves and it affects the energetic field, and then the nervous system has its own energetic field, and it's very, and that's affect our muscles, and then that's how even we use muscle testing, and then blah blah blah.
Anyway, so that's why I think in conclusion, herbs are we won't say they are superior. Of course they are in a way.
So of course they are. I would say they are superior. I'm sorry, even if you don't resonate, I mean, you, the listener, even if you don't resonate with this, I really don't care. It is what it is. Herbs have been since millennia. It has been since existence of this very planet. And today, people are coming, profit-driven companies and corporations are coming and saying, hey, this pill is like...
Oh yeah, you have to also share with everyone that people who have approached you and how it's so deceiving.
Yeah, in that case. So as I was saying, this pill is a solution to all, and this is what it is, and the government is regulating it, and the government is saying it is the solution, the thing that heals, and the thing that is the deal for wellness.
The cure all.
Okay, the cure all. But here's the thing. What about nature? You are saying that something in nature is woo-woo? I mean, F it. So, any which ways. Okay. That completely boils my blood. Any which ways. So, yeah, I have been approached by these kind of companies when in the past few years, who tell me to promote their products and recommend their products to supplements and, you know, certain products that are meant to replace foods or certain meals, or meal replacements. And when I read the ingredients, I was like, wow, this is like a load of crap. This will make a person ill, you know, things like low carb, blah, blah, blah. And even other, like omega-3, like completely companies made an omega-3, test your omega-3, omega-6 balance, and then throw an omega-3, it'll reduce inflammation levels, blah, 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 blah. No. I mean, the problem is that because this is a profit-driven, corporate-driven, consumeristic world that we live in, at times or many a times, things start just being all about money. And the people's health is just, who cares, you know? So sad to say that, but in functional medicine, there are practitioners that go rogue in a way that to the point where they start shifting focus away from the wellness of a person and that the very fact that the person should make lifestyle changes and dietary changes in a way which is important to shift their health in the long term. They just put a person on a bunch of supplements, like 20, 30 supplements. And this is something that's reoccurring, that
the person has to keep buying these supplements over and over again every month.
Except food, there's no freaking supplement that you need to consume for your lifetime.
Yeah, that's
understand
true.
That. Everything is supposed to be in the short term, including herbs.
Yeah, of course, because you you don't need herbs to fulfill your vitamin deficiency. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
You need herbs because there are certain energetic imbalances. And from that perspective, we are working, right? We are working on the tissue states. And then the person has some issues in those tissues. And because of that, we are working on that energetic level. We are working on that vibration level. And herbs also help the person when in emotional traumas. So
like back flower.
Yeah, so the back flower essences are amazing for that. And of course, when you, I don't know, you didn't talk about this one thing, that some practitioners also throw in a protocol, a set protocol.
Set protocols, yeah.
Which is again for everyone across the spectrum. And which is not, I think with herbalism at, itself, we are always taught that it has to be customized according to the person, because my illness or my manifestation, even if the disease label is the same, the symptoms are different. I'm a different person. I have a different constitution. So the herbs and everything has to be customized, aligning to my, according to my constitution, according to the elements that I am made of.
Exactly. I mean, there is
nothing is flexible. It cannot fit the bill perfectly.
I would say protocols are like shoes.
Yeah.
It's like one sized shoe. It cannot fit everyone.
That's true.
So if you really want true wellness at the physical level, you've got to first study the person, understand the person, and then do things according to the person, because every person is unique. Their habits, their lifestyle, their diets, their requirements, their choices, everything is unique. You can never, ever throw in a protocol for someone.
Of course. I mean, there are no hard and fast
rules.
Why
people do that?
There are, of course, exceptions
and
idiosyncrasies when it comes to making a customized protocol, because that's what it calls for, right?
Yeah, but then again, when a lot of practitioners, they go down the route of protocols, and then, you know, a bunch of supplements with those protocols and the diets that go along with the protocol, maybe in some way, maybe at times it makes sense, but not always And it's not.
And it might provide you some relief.
And yeah.
But definitely not to the extent that you're actually expecting.
So another con in functional medicine is that to lay out this process, okay, to understand the person, to study the person, and all the back end work that's involved, it's time consuming.
Yeah.
Downright. As a practitioner, you cannot take in a lot of clients. You cannot help a lot of people if you are doing this kind of work.
It's and like so cattle herding.
Cattle herding. So what happens is a lot of people, they want to help more people. So they go down the route of protocols.
Yeah.
And then it kind of backfires many a times.
Mm.
I mean, it won't backfire in a way where a person will be hurt. It'll backfire in a way that person doesn't get any results.
Yeah, the protocol is ineffectual for that.
Inefficient.
Person.
Yeah, exactly. So another point is that functional medicine can get expensive. Because to be frank, it involves generally, it at least not in our case, in any case, we have changed the way we work. I mean, we're not going to get into that, but generally functional medicine involves, there's a lot of supplements, nutraceuticals involved, because not every functional medicine practitioner has knowledge of herbs. Few have, but not everyone has. So that automatically raises the cost of your monthly bills, because you have to now buy a bunch of supplements.
Many of them actually start from easily 40 to 50 bucks.
Well, that is insane. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can buy 3-4 tinctures, herbal tinctures, in that much amount. Like, even if it's like $15, $10 also. So you can buy like 4-5 tinctures and you can use that according to your constitution, rather than buying like a set of pill, and which is like maybe with some vitamins and then some herbal powders. That's how nowadays many of these companies are operating, right? They have this B vitamins in them, and they have like these bunch of herbs in that, the powder herbs. So, but sometimes that won't work for everyone, because everyone's constitution is different. It might help some, but not to the extent, again, that you're expecting it to help you.
Exactly. So because of the high expenses, the most important thing is to make those dietary changes, not in terms of just change the food, but change the quality of food, as in the, you know, maybe going for organic foods. Things like that just can't happen. It gets put in the back burner because, oh my, there's a lot of expenses already, and not even including the labs yet, you know. A lot of functional medicine practitioners, they are heavy on labs, and at times fancy labs, which are really expensive. Like something like a stool test can cost a person more than $200, I suppose. So, and that's another con, getting lost in the labs, or just using the labs, not studying the person. So this is about, you know, let me give you an example. Like you go to save a forest, and of course it involves saving individual trees, but sometimes it's like in functional medicine, practitioners get too engrossed in just working with one tree and they forget the forest.
And it's not to say that at heart everyone's intention is to have the best for you.
Yeah.
To want the best for you. It's not that.
I would say majority of the practitioners
have that best
intention. I wouldn't say all. I would say majority of the practitioners, because there are some practitioners, there are always such people everywhere. They just want money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying they are most of them. There are few, but majority always have the best in heart for you.
Mm-hmm.
So they just go down the rabbit hole, and they might, continuing as what I was saying with the example of the tree in the forest. So sometimes they go to that level where they order fancy labs. They want to get into, you know, organic acid testing, and they want to know what like the hormones are working, how can I micromanage hormones, and they forget about changes all in all. Mm-hmm. Like lifestyle and all these changes, and like changing what the person is doing wrong in their life, it just goes out the window. And all what matters is, how can I manage? How can I get this estrogen down? How can I get this progesterone up? Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
It's all about that. How can I put this testosterone out? Things like that. So, and of course, you know, it's especially at the beginning, just a note, side note, if you are working with a functional medicine practitioner, or even if you are a student or whatever it is, I think too many labs in the beginning, like just the data, really does not make sense.
And that's what with SF and with your institute, because I think I do have to point this out that with Tracy, she keeps mentioning this one thing that please, if you can just work without labs, it's the best thing you're doing.
And I love to do that. I generally don't like to deal with labs because I also understand this thing that, again, it's a personal choice. I'm not saying it's bad. It's because what your body and what your symptoms are telling you is far more than what a lab can tell you, because at the end of the day, a lab test and lab analysis is just like a picture taken in a certain, it's a picture of a biochemistry. It cannot define what is happening at other times. And you cannot really take that as just what it is.
That's the gospel, yeah.
It's not the gospel. It's just one small piece that you can use in that big puzzle, which this person is a big part of, the person's history, the person's character, like everything of the person. And the lab is just like a tiny part of that. Any which ways. So I think this kind of sums up the cons.
Yeah.
And I think we have touched upon all the points that we wanted to. And yeah, and just one last point that even in functional medicine, because at the end of the day, as I mentioned, that they are still studying the matter and playing around. I mean, working with matter. Some of the information can be error prone, like a heavy focus on methylation. You know, people just giving out glutathione like it's whatever, and you know the MTHFR gene mutation,
like a child distributing chocolates on his or her birthday in the classroom.
Seriously, like, God, I read this one functional medicine practitioner's book, who's like a quote-unquote expert on thyroid. And like, I saw that with every patient that person worked with, glutathione, like, what the hell is going on? You can't just do that with everyone. Any which ways, I mean, it doesn't really matter. To each its own. So, can't blame them. Can't blame science either, because you know, as long as we are studying matter, only matter, we will be always prone to errors. We have got to start looking what is beyond. The point is not that what we are doing is wrong. The point is that what we are doing is incomplete. We need to start considering the whole, holistic, what spans beyond the physical. Or it's not even, I wouldn't say it spans beyond the physical. Atom, after all, is what makes matter. Energy is what makes matter. So we need to look at other things in order to get a complete picture and true wellness. A last point, if you are a client, if you are someone who wants to work with a functional medicine practitioner and you go to a functional medicine practitioner and this practitioner orders 100 different labs and recommends 20 different supplements to you, run in the opposite direction. Because no, I don't think much good is going to come out of it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think we summarized it pretty well.
Yeah.
The whole...
In conclusion.
Yeah.
It's not about it being bad or good. It's just about perspective, experiences. I had a certain experience. Someone else might have a certain experience. And at the end of the day, it's what you decide, what you believe, what you make of it. But our main goal was today to give you an understanding of what it is, what was our experience with it, because she's also kind of studying it or has studied it.
Yeah. And I'm liking it so far.
Yeah. And I've completely left it out.
Yeah. But then you are concentrating on the other side, right?
Yeah. On the other side. So basically, if you all don't know, together we work on all four levels, and more than working, we are teaching people to how to work on all four levels. So that means the physical, the bioelectromagnetic, the mind, and the higher mind, or the higher self, or the intuitive body, whatever you like to call it. So thank you for tuning in today's episode. And just a reminder that our mission is to empower you to reclaim your wellness and align with your higher self to attain true happiness and fulfillment in life. We provide you with all the information and support you need, holding back nothing. That's our goal. And we would like to do this at an affordable price with a subscription service, which is 36.9 euros, which is approximately around $39.9. And by subscribing, you'll gain access to a growing library of practical resources and hands-on information, along with community support, group calls, and more, all designed to guide you on this transformational path. And this is not a bait to sell you something more. There's nothing more, point blank. So please consider joining our monthly subscription and becoming a part of our vibrant community. This also helps us continue doing the work that we do.
Totally.
So let's embark on this exciting journey towards wellness and beyond. See you on the other side.
Bye.